Thank you, David, for another great song service tonight, and thank you all for being here. We appreciate all of you that are sitting closer to the front of the building. And I'd like to say this to the audience who views these telecasts. We do have people that are sitting midway back. A lot of times on our telecasts, you don't see that. You see one or two people sitting down the front. But we do have a number of people that are sitting midway back, and we're glad for that. We appreciate all of you that are here tonight. You know, did you realize that the devil does have a most wanted list? You might can think of examples in the Bible of those who might be on those or on that list. Perhaps maybe the Apostle Peter, when Satan said, I desired you that I may have you as wheat, that I may sift you, and that he did. And out of the sifting of Satan, we know that Peter denounced his Lord three times with cursings and oaths, but was just as quick to repent. In the Old Testament, we know that when God said, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all of the earth, he desired him. He was on the devil's most wanted list. Have you ever stopped to consider, are you on that list? I want to be like the guy that said, my ambition is life. In life is to be on the devil's most wanted list. Because if that is true, that means that you are doing something right. It means that you're honoring God like you ought to, and that you are serving him with all of your heart. You know, in this life, you and I will be tempted and we will be tried. We sing that old hymn sometimes, tempted and tried. And we know that Jesus was tempted and tried as well. For in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says that he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Jesus was on the devil's most wanted list. Because he thought that if he could tempt Jesus and he tried to actually get him to bow the knee unto Satan on several occasions. Immediately following his baptism, he's led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. And while he is there, he is confronted with one temptation after another. But because he remained steadfast to the will of God, the Bible says that the angelic forces of God came and ministered unto him. You know, Satan has strategies against all of us who are considered Christians. Are those of us who believe in God and are endeavoring to honor him. But the Bible says of the devil, Jesus speaking, there is no truth in him. For he is a liar, and he is the father of all lies. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. Peter records these words, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, he said, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's what God wants from all of us, isn't it? James 1 and verse 12 said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. That's what I want, is the crown of life. And that comes as a result of not giving in to the temptations or the trials of this life. In the book of Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through about verse 34, we find that account where Satan has desired Simon. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. You know what a sifting is, and I've listed up here, it is an agitating, it is a shaking, and sometimes the devil tries to shake our faith and shake us away from our God who is in heaven. Satan does not desire what we desire. Satan is a troublemaker. He is. And I can tell you for sure, all the troublemakers in this world are demonic in nature because they are following the path of their leader. He wants to create trouble wherever he goes in life. His desire is to sift us, that he may shake us up, agitate our faith, and weaken our confidence. He does all of this by his winnowing devices, and he has many of them. I don't know about you, but there have been so many times in my life when I have been shaken and agitated by Satan himself. But the Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We need to know what his devices really are. His big lie is that sin will make you happy and that there are no bad consequences. But we know that's not true at all. We know that we're going to be tempted every day. For Paul would write that all those that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution and even temptation. Well, I want to tell you tonight that the devil has three strategies against you. And I'm going to make this brief. I'm not going to make it long. Okay? Now, Satan tries us with doubt. You know, when we believe in God with all of our heart, the devil comes along and he puts these doubts and these temptations in our mind that says, you don't really believe in God, do you? You don't really believe that there is anything called salvation. You don't really believe there is a heaven. And you know what? If you listen to the wrong people and you listen to those who are filled with the devil, it might shake your faith a little. And doubt actually appears to be the central condition of the human being in the 21st century. Have you ever noticed how many people doubt so many things? We doubt people, we doubt our friends, we doubt parents and children and those that we would really say that we loved. But I can tell you that you and I must dispel the doubts to get rid of them. For in the book of 1 John 5, verse 11 and following, John says, he states that God has given us eternal life in his Son, and whoever has the Son has eternal life, and whosoever does not have the Son does not have eternal life. And John writes this letter and writes these things to those of us who believe on the name of God. And this is the testimony, he says. Thomas was an individual who was on the devil's most wanted list because the devil got Thomas to doubt. All the other apostles were very loyal, very deeply committed unto God, but Thomas was not. Do you remember when Thomas had not even gathered with the apostles the first time that Jesus appeared after his resurrection in the upper room? Do you remember that? And Thomas was not there. And yet they told him that Jesus had come, and he said, I won't believe it. I doubt it. That's why we call him the Doubting Thomas. But he didn't believe it. He said, I won't believe it until I see the print of the nail in his hand and thrust my hand into his side where the spear was. He was on Satan's most wanted list. But you see, the bridge, or rather the cross of Jesus, is the bridge that spans the guilt of sin. And he invites all of us to come to him. We don't have to stay on Satan's most wanted list. But if we're living as God wants us to live, that's where we are going to be. And that's why I told you this morning that I wanted to be on that list, because I know that I'm serving my Lord and my Master. There is no doubt in my heart about who he is and where we're going when life is over here. Don't live with doubt hovering over your head. Doubt causes a person to lose his soul. Don't let it cause you to lose yours. There have been times when Satan would actually win people over that he desired. You remember Demas? in the New Testament who was once a fellow co-worker with Paul. He was committed unto Christ at one time, but the Bible says that he departed having loved this present world. That's where his heart was, folks. And the people that are here tonight got here because this is where your heart is. It is important, therefore, according to the words of 2 Peter 1, verse 10 and 12, he says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you in the kingdom of God." That's where I want to be, that abundant, everlasting kingdom of our Savior. And he says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of things, though you know them." Do you know, I know when I get up here and I preach on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night that many of you already know the things that I'm teaching you. But I'm teaching you to remind you. And that's exactly what Peter says here. He says, "I won't cease to put you in remembrance of these things, even though you know them at this present time, because you're going to be tempted and you're going to be tried." Satan not only tries us with doubt, but he tries us with discouragement. Do you ever get discouraged in life? You know, we live in a world that is filled with discouraging times. I remember several years ago we had an old cowboy in the church, and he's deceased and been gone for many, many years. But I'll never forget, he'd always get up and he would pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, we thank you for this congregation where never is heard a discouraging word." You know what I used to think? You know, isn't that true in life? Isn't it true of this great church that people don't hear discouraging words? We're interested in lifting people up and buoying them on their journey with Christ. In the book of Numbers, chapter 21 and verse 4, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Eden, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." Now we're talking about the children of Israel. You remember when God set them free from Egypt that they wandered for about 40 years out in the wilderness. And they were so discouraged because they didn't reach that promised land that Moses had spoken about, that it was just going to happen maybe in a day or two, but it lasted 40 years, and they were discouraged. And the people began to speak against God and against Moses, and, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of the land of Egypt in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there water, and our soul loatheth," or our soul hates this light bread, the manna from heaven. Discouragement caused Israel to speak against Moses. You know, sometimes when we are discouraged, we actually get discouraged about the wrong thing. It's like the man that was mad at his dog and he kicked the cat. Sometimes people, just like Israel, was so discouraged they didn't know where to turn. They sinned, and they brought upon themselves the wrath of God, Numbers 21 and verse 6. You see, Satan devises discouragement to weaken our faith in God. He says to us, "There's no God out there. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about the way you live. There's no judgment," as we spoke of this morning. But there is. And that's why Paul addressed the church at Galatia with these words in Galatians 6 and verse 9. He says, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. For wherefore I desire that ye faint not in my tribulations for you, which is your glory," Paul writes in Ephesians 3, verse 1 and following. And then in 1 Peter 1 and verse 13, Peter says, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end." Don't get discouraged. Don't let anyone. I don't like to be around people that discourage me. Do you? I mean, I like to be around people that lift you up and people that are trying to encourage you and help you develop a closer walk with God. And that's what he's saying here in this text. and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, wherefore seeing that we are compassed, he says, about with so many great cloud of witnesses. You know what that is? You know who the great cloud of witnesses are? It's the sainted dead. That's who it is. That's who he's talking about. You go back and analyze that whole text. And he said, so them watching over us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, I know that arrests attention in your mind, because maybe you're turning this over also. Do the sainted dead know what's going on this earth? I think there are reasons to believe that perhaps they do, but we'll save that for another time. It's going to take a lot of time to get into that with you, and I don't have time to do that tonight. But we face all of these discouraging times because we're tempted and we're tried. But thirdly, and last of all, Satan tries us with deception. He is a deceiver. The Bible actually calls him that. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, he says, that you may not soon be shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as at the day of Christ is at hand. And let no man deceive you. If you are on Satan's most wanted list tonight, the devil will do his best to deceive you. And the writer says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, who is the son of perdition, and that is Satan himself. But although Satan has an almost limitless bait shop, things that he could use to draw you away from God, if he doesn't get you with sex, he'll get you with money. If he doesn't get you with money, he'll get you with pride. If he doesn't get you with pride, he'll get you with lies. You see, the devil is aggressively working, and you are on his most wanted list. And he will tempt us, and he will try us to the very end. That's why John writes in 1 John 2 and verse 15, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And these are of the world, they are not of the Father. When he uses that little expression, by spirit, it denotes a false prophet, as John relates in the book of 1 John 4 and verse 1. When he says, brethren, try the spirits or prove them whether they are of God. And he says, don't believe every spirit. Just because someone totes the Bible, just because someone goes to the house of worship, you don't believe everything they say. If it doesn't conform to truth, notice what he says, not only by spirit, nor by word, that is, the words of a false prophet, nor by letters. Because back during the days of the early church, just as there were false Christs, and Jesus actually said there would be false Christs that would find their ways among the disciples of Jesus in Matthew 24, there were false teachers. And Jesus says, beware of them. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. The devil will reach out to ensnare you with some means of deception. The Bible says of it in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Did you know that the devil transforms himself into an angel of light? Now I can tell you, think about that just a moment. If he appears to be wholesome and pure and lovely, chances are you're going to follow down that path. But if the devil came to you in a red suit with a long tail and a pitchfork and horns, hey, you're going to run from that dude, aren't you? Sure you are. That's why the devil changes himself into an angel of light. And Satan's powers over men of the world through lies designed to deceive the spiritually ignorant and the Christian as well. The snare of Satan. He has baited the trap. And he's waiting on you to take the bait. He is. There are many warnings in the Bible about apostasy and leaving God, and that's what we're talking about here tonight. In that little book of Jude, only one chapter, but in the very fourth verse, the Bible says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Down in verse 17 and 18, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust." Satan desired to have you. And by the way, the reason I mention that this is plural is because in the New Testament, that word there that is used is the plurality. It's kind of like when I say you tonight as I address a whole audience. That Satan desires you, all of you. He is confident that he can get away and draw us away from God. That's why Scripture says in verse 21 of the same text, that whole book is writing about Satan and what he's trying to do. "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." And if you've not followed the commands of Jesus to become a Christian through your belief in him as Savior and Lord, being baptized for the remission of sins, then certainly that is a step that we need to take. Satan is trying just as hard as I'm trying to put the Word of God in your mind. Satan is working just as hard to take it out. He is. You know, any teacher of the Word of God who stands before you and starts trying to teach you the will of God, Satan is working on you. And if you have been unfaithful to God, don't try to justify your unfaithfulness. Then I have to ask you the question, who will win out? Satan or God? When you are tempted and when you are tried, will you be like Job who said, "I will come forth as gold when I am tried"? But each and every one of us must beware. Satan is not some kind of mythological creature that is out there. He is real. He is as real as God. And tonight, if you're not on Satan's most wanted list, I would desire to get there while we stand and while we sing.